Hello and welcome to the fifth call with guest experts for the Money Matrix Magic Marathon. We have today Dr. Simeon Roger and Kathy Williams who will be speaking on the importance of feeling good and other keys to manifesting what you really want. I'll be talking with Dr. Simeon Roger and Kathy Williams about some of the core principles related to manifesting the money you want to see in your life. And we are very lucky to have them here today for this gathering, as they have a huge experience in working and teaching the law of attraction principles. Dr. Simeon Roger is a university professor, martial arts expert, a married priest of the Eastern Orthodox Church, and best-selling author on personal transformation methods used by ancient cultures. Years ago, he organized a famous online event called the Mindset Mastery Virtual Bootcamp. He's interviewed and been interviewed by many of the world's leading authorities on mindset, and he is co-creator of a law of attraction program that was widely judged so good that it was promoted by several stars of the hit mindset movie, The Secret. He's also very brilliant at explaining complex ideas in a simple, easy to understand language, and I always really enjoy listening to anything he has to say because it is so, and this takes a particular type of brilliance. It seems so simple, and yet the ideas behind it are really deep. So I think you're really going to enjoy that. Kathy Williams is a marketing and creative consultant in Toronto, Canada, who works with businesses to redefine their online and offline identities and has been a student of peak performance and direct response psychology for more than 20 years. She's also the co-creator of the internationally marketed mindset program Accelerated Law of Attraction Mastery and offers a series of live group transformational workshops on personal development, empowerment, and the law of attraction. So welcome, Kathy and Simeon. I'm so delighted to have you here to offer your wisdom on this topic and your experiences to the people involved in this program. And the principles you'll be talking about today contain key concepts that I really wanted all people enrolled in this program to understand at a very deep level, as I think these principles, along with the clearing of the negative beliefs and patterns like we've been doing, form the basis for creating success in whatever you really want in your life. So the structure is this. I'll be asking them some questions, and later we'll open up the call to questions from the audience. And I would really encourage you to stick around for the whole call today because Dr. Simeon and Kathy have a really special gift for you that they'll tell you about at the end. So welcome, Simeon and Kathy.
Thanks, Katie.
Hello, Katie.
It's wonderful to be here.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you. And so we'll start with asking you both to tell me and our audience about how you got interested in the question of mindset mastery and the law of attraction. And how have you used these principles to change your life?
Well, geez,
so, Kathy,
like
would
begin?
You like to start?
sure, Katie. Thank you. I guess my own journey began back when I was in my teens. I became interested in natural nutrition and just the whole idea that food, as a starting point anyways, could really transform our health. And then that kind of led into an interest in natural healing. And I started to study that a little bit further, which progressed even more into the idea of spontaneous healing, which I think probably some of your listeners have also explored. It's absolutely fascinating. So the way that our mind really can affect our health and well-being and our longevity. So that became a real interest of mine for many years, starting when I was younger. And then kind of at the same time, Katie, my background, as you mentioned, is advertising and marketing. And so I always had a passion and a curiosity for human behavior and what really drives peak performance and the psychology behind that. So I suppose it was up until about by the time the 2000s had come And then the law of attraction started to become a little bit more popular again, and I started to really get introduced to that. It all seemed to come together. It wasn't just, you know, the nutrition that was affecting our health and our body system. It started to really, you know, the law of attraction for me, as the more I explored it, really became something that, you know, affected everything, every part of life, our, not just our bodies, but everything that was happening around in our experience. So that became something that was of real interest to me. And actually it was that, that has its own whole law of attraction story, but really the study of the law of attraction is what led Dr. Simeon and I to get together and co-creating a product that, you know, is then marketed on the law of attraction as well. So kind of an interesting journey, but it's been a passion that, you know, many threads in my life have really led to this one place and also to us being here actually on this very call.
Yes. And is there any particular way that you've really seen the law of attraction manifest in your life?
Oh my goodness. Well,
maybe both good and bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And in so many ways, I mean, the more we learn about the law of attraction, the more we realize that it takes form, or we see the results of it every single day, everywhere we look. But I suppose if I was to say where I've seen, as of late, what I've been able to really see changing and at least being much more aware of, the more we learn about it, the more consciously aware we are of exactly what we're creating in our own experience, I would say it's completely transformed some areas of my life. But just to name a few, when I really started applying the principles that I believe most of your listeners are about to be exposed to, or perhaps are in the middle of studying right now, with Your Wishes, Your Command specifically, but there were some key concepts and principles that when I started applying those, I saw dramatic shifts in areas of, like specifically when I looked at my own business, because I'm self-employed, I'm an entrepreneur, and so everything that happens with my business, I'm directly responsible for. And when I first started applying some of these principles, Katie, it was pretty amazing. I didn't really realize it at the time until I looked back after a few months, and I saw dramatic shifts in my revenue. My revenue was going up, and yet at the same time, the amount of effort that I had to put towards my clients and my projects was dropping dramatically. So, I mean, it was a perfect scenario, just building right before my eyes.
Yeah.
So I wasn't complaining. That was definitely a very good experience. And then just in other ways, Katie, like with personal relationships, those just started to flourish. And all of a sudden, I hadn't realized that I was putting it out there, I suppose. But I guess as a background intention, I really wanted my own social network of people that were more like-minded. I wanted that to expand. And seemingly overnight, it was, and so that was thrilling too. And then something that was underlying, and I didn't really pay much attention to it because I was a generally happy person. But Katie, when I looked towards the future, and perhaps this is part of, you know, what happens if you're employed, if you're self-employed or have your own business, we don't always have, we have a different way of looking at the future sometimes, and it can be daunting, or it can be there's some uncertainty. And Katie, I found that the uncertainty started to disappear. It just melted away. And when you take that uncertainty away, my goodness, it's amazing how much that can affect your day. So I did notice that right off the bat was, oh my goodness, my days were, and I guess it was more in, you know, nighttime sometimes, you know, when you're going drifting off to sleep, the thoughts that used to be there were a little bit of uncertainty where they started to shift immediately, Katie, to excitement and anticipation. So, yeah, it all together really has had a very, very positive, amazing effect.
Wonderful. So thank you for giving us more of those details. It's really, really interesting that you found that as an entrepreneur that you were putting less effort and getting better results. And we certainly talked about that in the Money Marathon, how most of us assume or have these old beliefs that the more effort and the more hard work we put into something, the better. And
so
it
true.
Often isn't the case. And we've often got, we've got a lot of beliefs about fun and play and that somehow that our life has to be just work, 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 and working really hard to get success. And yet what you're telling us is that you actually now are having less work or less, how would you say it,
feels like less effort.
Better results.
Right.
And also more of a social work network, which is lovely because, again, people will work so hard that they cut themselves off that way. So I'm going to now ask Dr. Simeon Rogers to come in and tell us a little bit about his journey before we get into the main principles.
Yeah, okay, Katie. My own journey, I guess, began probably before I was a teenager, in fact, because the one thing that has always been my preoccupation, the one thing I've always been obsessed about, is how is human life supposed to work? How are we meant to live? How are we constructed? What is it that creates the experience we have? And this as when I was growing up, led me into all kinds of interesting things. This is, strangely enough, it's the reason why I got into martial arts in the first place back when I was 9 years old. And it led to martial arts, it led to Chinese medicine, Qigong, it led to a very detailed investigation of all the world's different spiritual traditions. It led to, you know, all of these different things, different strands of human experience, different strands of what you might call loosely personal development, both ancient and modern. And how did they work? How successful were they? Did they have results to show for it? And what can we learn from this now? And so it's been a very long journey with a lot of interesting segues here and there, and some very interesting ones. Of course, one that we'll talk about a little bit today is Your Wish Is Your Command, and what that has done for us, for Kathy and myself, and also just the whole law of attraction and mindset thing. Really, my interest in the whole idea of mindset, getting your mind on your side, finally, and figuring out what it takes to be successful, to get what you want, whatever that is, and you can define success in any way that suits you. Figuring that out all for me, that came really in the early 2000s when I first got into business, and that was the first time that I'd gone really beyond my comfort zone and realized I had some serious mental, emotional blockages to deal with, some around money, some around success, some around exactly what you said before, Katie, you know, how hard do you have to work to make this, to get ahead? And I found myself very often working far too hard for far too little payoff and wondering what was wrong. And so that's really, really for me how I got into it.
Very interesting. Yeah, it seems that for a lot of us, becoming an entrepreneur really puts the questions on the table about how you get success, because it's not such an it's a really interesting path, but it's not an easy path. At least because it's not like with a job where you know that your paycheck's going to come and you know basically what you're supposed to do. You have to figure it out all yourself, and it's also based on your particular talents and abilities. So there's a lot of things that can get in the way there in terms of mindset.
Yeah, a lot gets put on the table. You're absolutely right. But the interesting thing is, from a certain point of view, you actually don't have to figure it all out, and that's one of the things we'll be talking about today, and that's one of the things that causes the most stress, is we're busy trying to figure it out.
Excellent point. So I'm looking forward to that part. So actually, to start with first things first, how do you explain how you see the law of attraction. There's a lot of talk about it, but what does it mean to you?
Which one of us do you want?
Oh, yes, sorry. Well, okay, start with Kathy, and then we'll go to you.
Sure.
You can add whatever
we'll,
you want. Sorry.
We'll probably end up answering it together. So
okay.
Feel free to chime in at any point.
Okay, sure.
But I think the simplest definition, Katie, could be that like attracts like, if we're talking at a vibrational or frequency level. So the frequency or vibration that we happen to be putting out at any point in time is what we are essentially attracting back to us, like a magnet or like a mirror reflection of what we're putting out. And it basically happens seemingly by default. So what we put out is what we're essentially bringing back into our experience on a vibrational level. Would you agree, Simeon, or what would you add to that?
Well, it's absolutely true, and that you know comes down to the whole essence of the matter, Kathy, which is what is it within us that attracts?
Mm-hmm.
And there is, you know, there is the old saying, you get what you think about most of the time,
mm-hmm.
which is true, but it's also misleading. And it's not just misleading in the sense that Brian Tracy said it was misleading. Brian Tracy once said, well, it's not literally true, because if it were, every teenage boy would turn into a teenage girl.
But, that's right.
But it's misleading in a different way. It's misleading in the sense that it's not simply what we think about in our cerebral brain. It's our emotional content. It's more the heart than the brain. It's what we feel.
Mm.
Because
that's
we know, the energy field of the heart is many, many times stronger than the field of the brain. We can now measure the energy field of the brain without actually putting electrodes on your head. We can detect the energy field of your brain, something like, and you know, these measurements aren't exact because my memory is probably faulty on this point, but you know, something like 6 inches away from your head, we can detect your brain's energy field.
Mm-hmm.
We can detect your heart's energy field more like 15 feet away from you. And people who have worked, scientists who have worked on measuring the heart's energy field, that donut-shaped field that expands out of the human heart, have said that they believe it's only our instruments that limit us,
mm.
and that energy field probably extends for something like 3 kilometers.
Mm. That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And so what would you, if it's a law, why isn't it working for so many people? Because if it was, there'd be millions of people practicing it in the last year since The Secret. And yet things are, well, we've been through a big economic crisis in the world and a lot of things that look like, you know, it's not having that much of an impact.
I love this question. This is a really good one, isn't it, Simeon? This is,
yeah,
one of a favorite. So, If I'll start and maybe Simeon and I can do this together, it is working. It's just maybe not working the way everybody's hoping it will. This is the funny part about it, isn't it? Is that without their awareness, really, of how much of a role that we as individuals are playing, we're actually co-creating everything. So it actually really is working very well, clearly just in the wrong way, or not in the way that most people are hoping it will be. But Simeon, what would you add?
Well, it's perfectly true, Kathy. It's simply a lack of alignment on our part. We are manifesting perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, you know, recently I put together a particular program for some people which was designed to prove to them, literally to prove to them, that they are manifesting perfectly and they always have been. And they do that by observing for a certain number of days. They actually observe their emotional content, their thoughts and what their thoughts and their feelings. They observe those. They journal those. They put intentions out there about what they would like to experience for that day, and they record the results. And the data coming back from the people who've been doing this has been stupendous. It's like their eyes have popped out, and they said, "Wow, this is really cool." It's true. They can see the correlation between what they're getting and what they're putting out there.
That's a terrific exercise. Oh, that sounds fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, right. And I've been doing some of that program, and it is very good. It's really, yeah. And I think just to draw this out is that so much of the law of attraction teaching, you think, or at least from what I've experienced, is thinking that just your thoughts are really going to affect it, and then by repeating these affirmations that you may not even believe. In fact, you know, like I'm wealthy, or, you know, I am whatever, and the things that you want, and you're not there right yet, and so you just don't believe it when you really believe it inside you when you're doing it. And so I think a lot of those like affirmations and that things like that, techniques like that, have kind of made people think, oh well, this doesn't work at all. And yet what you're saying is that it's really not so much the conscious thoughts, but the emotional undertones.
Yeah, it could be that, you know, really there's maybe even a danger. Let me know what you think, Kathy, but if you're repeating continually an affirmation that you in fact don't believe, you might actually be reinforcing the counter-intention, as we call it, the negative energy that goes with that.
Oh, I totally agree. That's what I was actually, as Katie, as you were describing that, that is something that comes to mind, but most people would never even know to think about that. Pardon me. But Simeon mentioned it earlier about the question of alignment. And when you're thinking about something, as in the example of the affirmations, if you're repeating something that, like you mentioned, Katie, that you may not really believe, what we tend to do naturally, if we don't believe it, we're actually starting to think about the opposite of that.
Yes.
Right? Which
exactly.
Then, what are we putting out? We're not feeling good. If we're thinking about what we don't want, as those of you who are already perhaps going through the material of the Your Wish is Your Command program, you'll be familiar with this concept, which is so, so powerful. Listen to that part over and over again if you can. But really, if you're thinking that you're thinking about what you want, but you're not feeling good, maybe like repeating that affirmation of I am wealthy or I am successful, but not believing it, the disbelief makes us not feel good. And then that goes back to what Dr. Simeon was saying about it comes back to your feelings. And if we're not feeling good about what we're saying, perhaps because we don't yet believe it, we're actually sending out the opposite vibration. I'm not successful. I'm not successful. I'm not successful. Mm-hmm. And that's what we end up getting back. As a very basic example, but just to illustrate the point. So it's pretty powerful.
Yeah, and actually it's something that I noticed when I was first working around the money issue. It seemed like the more I worked on it, the worse it got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which was like,
oh my goodness,
what the hell is going on here? You know, I've decided I finally need to focus on this issue because I need more money to really do what I want in the world. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed that it was getting worse and worse. And I think this thing, and I was trying the affirmations, I was trying all sorts of things. And I think what you're talking about now was, I think, one of the big reasons for that, along with the fact that I hadn't quite discovered some of the things that were still sabotaging me in terms of my underlying beliefs. But mm-hmm. the fact is I would think about it, and I'd think, oh, I really, you know, and then I would get down on myself. Well, you've been working all this all this time mm-hmm. on it, and you're still not making progress. In fact, it's getting rich. It's getting worse. And so all that kind of cycle can happen with people who are actually focusing on the money and focusing on the law of attraction.
And
that's right.
The reason, Katie, why, you know, as you know, in another talk that I give,
mm-hmm.
I warn people against taking the law of attraction as soon as they learn it. Taking, and this, we all do this, all of us have done this, every
yeah.
one of us, Kathy and I included, I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
that we've learned about the law of attraction, we've learned sort of what we consider to be the basic principles, and the first thing we do is we take them and we try to apply them to that area of life that hurts the most.
Yeah.
And what's wrong with that picture? The area of life that hurts the most, whether it's money, it might be money, it might be relationships, might be health, could be anything for anybody. that area of life is surrounded by the biggest cloud of negative emotion that you can imagine. For the most part, that's typically what it is. You have a, for instance, around money, you may have a huge lack mentality for a number of reasons, a bunch of beliefs that are sabotaging you. So there's this huge amount of negative energy, and the moment you focus on that question, you bring all of that up. And you try to apply the what you understand to be the law of attraction principles to it, but the fact is you're not there yet. You're not able to do it. And it overwhelms you. It's like the analogy that I use is pretend that or imagine that you've never, ever done any martial arts or combat in your life. You go into a martial arts school. You take one lesson. You walk out the door, and the first thing you do is you challenge Bruce Lee to a death match. And it's pretty much equivalent to that.
For you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great analogy. I like that
yeah,
example.
I love
that. Mm-hmm.
And so most people are doing that and, you know, failing. Definitely. So I'm wondering if we can get back to, or not back to, but actually we're beginning to circle around it. But what are the real keys to manifesting what we want in life if it doesn't work just to do affirmations or some of these other things that people have associated with doing for the to attract more of what they want in their lives?
Very good question. Well, I know that the subject of our talk today is about feeling good. And you're right. We were kind of we're on the fringe of talking about that already, aren't we?
Yeah.
There's a lot of keys to it, but I think Dr. Simeon will probably agree with me when we say that feeling good and being able to be aware of how you're feeling is probably one of the biggest keys, simply because it does really affect our vibrational state. Now, there's a lot of other things that of course will play into that, but that feeling state is definitely the place to begin. And what that does, Katie, is it opens us up to being able to allow what it is that we want to start coming into our experience, as opposed to what we were talking about earlier, whereas not really believing it and then feeling bad about it would then be offering resistance to what we want. How would you explain it, Dr. Simeon?
Yeah, that's a key thing, Kathy, because when you think about it, let's take the idea of money, for instance, since the series here we're on is about money and about clearing blockages around money. And so often what happens is a person will, you know, take the law of attraction and say, okay, I'm having troubles with money, I've got to attract money. And they will decide theoretically what it is that they want to achieve, and that's an important thing. You have to know what you want, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then they'll start thinking about it, and of course all the bad stuff will come up. So they continue thinking about it, and the more they think about it, the worse they feel. And this should be a clue for you that if you're thinking about your goal and you don't feel good about it, admit that to yourself. Don't try to force it. Admit that thinking about the goal, at least the way you framed your goal, is not working for you. And sometimes it's just a question of how you framed it. This can happen. Like I know somebody who initially framed a goal at one point of making a certain amount of money per month. But that framing it that way didn't work for him. He found he had to force himself to think about it. It was, you know, you shouldn't have to force yourself to think about your goal. That's another clue, right?
Mm-hmm.
That your goal should be something you love so much that you have a hard time stopping thinking about it. Kind of
okay.
Like, Kathy, do you remember that creative project that you sort of put on hold? The one
Yeah, you just reminded me of that.
Maybe you should, that's a great example. Why don't you just sort of briefly mention that?
I'd love to hear it.
Okay. It was funny. It was a side project. It wasn't really anything that had to do with my regular business at all. But, you know, I had been telling Simeon about, I've just got this whim to, it was a creative project that I don't know how, of course, don't know how. It just came to me one day and I started playing with this idea. more like a hobby. And it's funny because I'd had a specific goal of something to do with a business project that I had decided I wanted to manifest and bring this in and use the techniques. And much like the example that Dr. Simeon gave with the person he knew who was set a particular dollar amount and decided that that's what they were going to set their sights on, for me, I had set this particular goal and I knew, at least logically, I wanted it. I didn't really have that much excitement about it. Like how I was feeling, technically, looking back now, it wasn't really lined up the way it needs to be. And in the course, actually, that I think your listeners will be going through at some point, the Your Wish is Your Command, it talks quite a bit about this. So they'll be able to get a lot more information on this subject, which I think they'll find pretty useful. But there's an important point about being in alignment with what it is that you want or what that goal is that you're setting, because it's described in that particular course as being in the sweet spot, which I think is a perfect way to describe it, because you literally need to be feeling really good about it, as Dr. Simeon just mentioned, and also be excited about it and believe you can get it. So for me, the work project, I wanted it to a certain extent, but I believed I could do it. That wasn't the issue. For me, it was the excitement. I wasn't really all that excited about it. I suppose it looked really good on paper and made sense and it was more logic-driven, but this hobby, oh my goodness, when I thought about this hobby, I was so excited. I was over the top, and there was no question as to whether or not I could do it, so the belief was there. It was technically as much in the sweet spot as you could possibly be with something. And so it was funny because day after day, and it got to a point where it was practically hour after hour, it was a bit of a joke. I was reporting back to Simeon saying, I can't believe this. Everything that I could have needed for this project is coming into my experience. I needed a contact to do with leather. Bam! A leather person was there. Like right out of the blue, I am meeting somebody that's a leather specialist. I needed a piece of equipment that I could, you know, if this was to materialize, well, I would need a piece of equipment that did this, this, this. Bam! An ad would show up with this exact piece of equipment offered at some ridiculous price, like rock bottom. And I was like, I was laughing about it because it really illustrated so perfectly that if something's in the sweet spot and if it's something that is a goal that you have that lines up, and again, forgive me, we don't have the time to go into all the detail about that, but they will find that in Your Wish is Your Command. But when something is lined up emotionally, so your feeling is strong and passionate and excitement, like Dr. Simeon described, like you can't stop thinking about it, and I couldn't. I would doodle about it. I would think about it. I would talk about it. My husband was just about to say, can you stop?
You've got us really curious. What was this project? We're all
it was a leather project. I can't get into the details right now, but it had to do with leather, and it had to do, I can't even go into more detail, but it was a silly little hobby idea. But this hobby idea just happened to bring out, I had complete faith and belief because I knew, oh, yeah, I just need this, this, this. And whatever reason, in my mind, I believed there was no problem. But the excitement was so high. And Napoleon Hill describes it really well when he says, you know, you have to have a magnificent obsession. That's one of the starting points. Well, I was magnificently obsessed. So it was a great example for Simeon and I because we were in contact a lot at that time, and so he kind of heard my story go on, and it was really funny because things happened so quickly, minute after minute, hour after hour, day after day. It was like everything was just presented on a platter. Mm. Here you go.
Yeah, it was the most incredible thing to hear about.
It was funny. It was funny. And really, it thanks for bringing that up again because it really is a good example of the contrast between having things lined up the way we need them to be and to be aware of when something is maybe not feeling right, that we need to find something that is so that you can get that natural excitement and natural obsession. Would you agree?
I totally agree, and I can also add, Kathy, a sort of a business example as well, which is what, Katie, what you mentioned at the beginning just when you were going over my bio there, that I started this teleseminar series back in 2006 called the Mindset Bootcamp. And the idea for that teleseminar series came to me out of the blue. Now, and it's I didn't realize till a long time later, years later, this was a perfect example of how the law of attraction works. The idea came to me out of the blue. I couldn't stop thinking about it, much like Kathy's leather project. I couldn't stop thinking about it. It was just too much fun. I would doodle, you know. And then the cool thing is that the moment I made a decision to do it, people came into my experience with all kinds of expertise. I had a very famous internet marketer who agreed to coach me and help me set up some technical stuff, actually two of them. I had to, of course, call some really big names who didn't know me from Adam at the time. And I called them out of the blue, and one of them offered to go and get more people.
Wow.
And, you know, on and on it went. And, there were challenges, but I just loved it. It was a great thing. And the other thing that was really cool about it in retrospect is that the results of that teleseminar series are with me down to this day. For one thing, Kathy and I met because of that teleseminar series. For another, I met several business partners and mentors through that series, and we're still in contact. We still work together. So it's affected me right down till today, and it was one of these things that came out of the blue. It was not from the logical brain. It was not I was not sitting there saying, okay, what can I do? Logically, if I do this, then this will happen. Maybe I should try this. What are the do's? You know, I wasn't making pros and cons lists of everything. Later on, though, in business, when I would do that, when I would let my logical brain drive things, things just wouldn't go as well. They just didn't work as well. So I was slow to learn the lesson from that.
Well, that brings me to a question, actually. Is that, let's say as a business, you know that you need to generate money, and yet you can't quite get excited about any of the projects you're doing right then, but you love what you're doing. How would you approach that from that point of view, that you really need to find what you're excited about, but at the same time something that's going to be money generating?
Well, part of it would be, you know, really it comes down to knowing what you want.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to be, you know, because I know you're going to bring up a certain British scientist later on.
Right.
In a particular worldview. And so we'll talk about that too in that context. But what it comes down to is what we're saying about the way the universe works now is counter to what our culture has taught us since we were born, right? Our culture has taught us you have to solve problems using your logical brain, and you have to do it using what you know.
Yes.
And what we're doing is we're telling people the opposite. That's actually not true. The universe is not structured that way. The universe is structured in such a way you don't have to know the solution. All you have to know is the result that you want to have and feel what that will be like. You have to be able to focus on the result that you want in a way that is pleasurable, i.e. it makes you feel good. Kathy, would you add to that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And maybe just to take that one step further, talking about the feeling, if there are several ways that we can actually define what it is that we want. And sometimes that's a really good place to begin too, is how is the way that you're defining what it is that you want in your business, how is it that, or the way that you're defining it, is that definition making you feel good? And if it's not, maybe it does just come down to reframing it or looking at it in a different way. In the material that I think your audience is listening to, in Your Wish Is Your Command, there's an explanation that I think would probably fit perfectly on this subject, Katie. It's described as there being more or less three ways that you could define what it is that you want. If you use this business example, you can be very specific and we've talked up till this point about, you know, maybe a specific dollar amount, or you could be more general and just leaving it as to, you know, more, let's say, enough money to do XYZ. Or you could leave it very general and bring it down to the feeling, which is what we've been kind of suggesting throughout this call, is how important it is to focus on how you're feeling. So what some people will have more success with, especially in the beginning, because as Dr. Simeon mentioned, it can be really challenging when we address these big subjects or goals right off the get-go, because there's a lot of counter-intention within us that's happening and our feelings aren't right. So if we pare that goal down to a specific feeling, how do we want it to feel? If we have, let's say if we use the money as an example, if we want to have an investment of $100,000, this example will kind of correlate with what people will be listening to. If you want to have a specific amount of money for your business or for an investment or let's say whatever it may be, how does it feel when you think about that dollar amount? If you don't really feel that good about it, it may be because it's a little bit out of alignment with you maybe don't believe it. If you take it and make it more general but bring it right back to the feeling that you want, maybe it's not really the money that you're looking for, but what will that money do or how will that money make you feel? That's usually a lot easier for us to, you know, wrap our hands around or wrap our minds around, because the feeling is something we can be right in tune with and say, okay, how do I, well, what I really want is I want that feeling of security. Maybe for my business, I need that to feel secure. Or maybe that will make me feel more freedom. Does that make sense? So we're focusing more on the feeling aspect of it and defining the goal based on a feeling, but ultimately something that is going to allow us to feel good about that goal in the bottom line. The course talks breaks it down into feeling, because sometimes that gives us the most freedom in terms of what we will be bringing into our experience. Mm-hmm. So we're focusing on the feeling to be specific about the general result we're trying to get. And then we're allowing the universe to bring back to us, for our business in this case, right, or for ourselves in this case, something that will mirror that feeling. And ultimately, that's really what it comes down to. We want to create feelings and experiences that will give us certain feelings in life. And if we run into trouble, coming back to things, looking at it from a feeling perspective, usually simplifies it and is sometimes safer. Would you say, Simeon?
Yeah, it is, Kathy, and it has the added benefit that when you begin to frame things this way and think a little bit more about the feeling state that you want, you become, therefore, more aware of your feeling state.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a key thing, and it's something people constantly are getting back to me with, that, you know, suddenly I become more aware of how I'm feeling. Well, the more aware you are of your feeling state, the better you're going to be at the law of attraction.
So, so true.
Mm. And the thing is, the great benefit, even if you weren't to get what you were wanting, you're getting feeling good.
That's right.
Where it's a lot of times when we're looking for a goal, we kind of put off the pleasure. And we say, oh, in the future, I'm going to feel good when I have this much money, or I'm going to, you know, feel this way. And what I find really great about this is that you're saying, now I'm going to feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
And things will come in alignment to bring more of this to me.
And this is one of those things about the worldview that is the worldview we have as a society that's inaccurate. The idea that we have to struggle first in order to feel good later, it's a very dangerous thing, because if you feel bad now, you're going to feel bad later.
And actually, because we're getting into this, I would love if you explain, Simeon, in your talks you often refer to the fact that most people are living their lives in an outdated view of reality, the Newtonian worldview, and you've alluded to that already. Can you explain more and why that matters?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to, Katie. It's one of my favorite subjects, and I'll try to be brief. Not my forte, but I'll do my best. And it really has to do with Sir Isaac Newton, and I'm sure everybody on the call is basically familiar with Sir Isaac. He was, of course, a British scientist and one of the most brilliant scientists who has ever lived. Now, he's been deceased for almost three centuries, but he's still making your life miserable today. And not intentionally. I mean, we call it the Newtonian worldview, but Sir Isaac wasn't out there to found a worldview. He was out there to discover the mathematical principles behind the physical universe, and he was very good at it. Newtonian physics allowed us to put a man on the moon and bring him back safely. So much of our technical progress is owed to Newtonian physics. What we now know, of course, and what we've known for pretty much the past 90 years, in fact, is that Newtonian physics is an outdated view of reality. It's an incomplete view of physical reality. It is simply incomplete. And there are some assumptions about it that we've had culturally that are wildly wrong. So if we look at the Newtonian worldview, and again, it's not about, you know, Sir Isaac didn't invent this. There's a lot of secular philosophy and a lot of Western Christian philosophy that went into this. But as it is, the Newtonian worldview basically posits a universe that is impersonal, mechanistic, and hostile. So already, if your belief system has implanted that the universe is mechanistic, impersonal, and hostile, how are you going to feel? Probably not great. There's going to be an underlying current of something negative there. But there are some other postulates of this worldview that everybody really should know in order to search them out in your own belief systems, find them, hunt them down, and see where you stand on them. According to the Newtonian worldview, matter is solid and real. So if you're, you know, if right now if you're at a desk or something, you tap on the desk feels solid and real. And Newtonian physics would say it's actually there. There is physical matter. It's just, it's divided into tiny little particles. At first we thought the smallest particle of matter was an atom, and then we realized atoms are made of things, and then, you know, on and on it went. Then we thought protons, neutrons, and electrons were the smallest part of matter, and then we realized, that's not quite true either. And then we kept drilling down until finally we realized, quantum physics realized and has long since proven, that there is no material substance at all. It's all energy, and that table that you just knocked on or that desk that felt so solid is really mostly empty space anyway. So we live very much in a holographic universe, but because the Newtonian worldview thinks everything is solid and real, it presents life to you as if life were happening outside you. If you subscribe to this worldview, you believe that life is something that happens outside you. It consists of external events that are external to you personally. And there's a corollary here, and this is the most devastating one. According to the Newtonian worldview, your consciousness does not affect the world around you. Your consciousness is unrelated. Your thoughts, your emotions, your feelings, whatever, none of it is related to the world around you. So this, in the Newtonian worldview, you live in this mechanistic, impersonal, hostile universe where stuff happens to you, life happens to you, and the best thing you can do is keep your head down and try not to get sideswiped by it too badly. That's really what it means. Without going too much into the philosophical detail, that is what it comes down to.
I love that.
Yeah,
yes.
It is great.
And it does impact how we think or about everyday things, and also even people believing that in the energy psychology and medicine, it's like, how can that happen? Because in the Newtonian worldview, you wouldn't think those types of things happen.
And I'll just add one last thing, Katie, which is, the way this is so devastating for most people is that they're faced, of course, we all have challenges in life. Different situations come up, and that's perfectly normal. But what the Newtonian worldview is telling you is that you as an individual have to solve the problem based on your rational mind, your limited rational mind, based on what you know, which is very limited, and you have to come up with a solution. So it puts you automatically in a very disempowering place where you are, and here's the key from a law of attraction point of view, you're always being forced by the Newtonian worldview to think about the how. How can this happen? How can I bring this about? How can I create this result? And the whole point that we're making here is you don't have to know that. When the law of attraction is working, one thing you will notice is that the solution comes from way outside your experience. It's nothing you could have ever devised. nothing you could have dreamt up. You'll get the result that you want. You just will never, ever come the way you think it's supposed to. And that's why the only thing you should be focusing on is the result you want and what that will feel like.
So that makes it, in some ways, it's much simpler than what we try to do most of the time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's actually involves a fair amount of trust, which we've not been taught to do either.
That's right. Oh, a lot of people actually make that comment. I think, Simeon, Dr. Simeon, you can agree to this, is that when people actually start to, when they become aware of how they should be approaching things, you know, not thinking about the how, you know, focusing just on what they want and the thoughts and feelings, it takes so much pressure off. It's actually very, very empowering and freeing not to have to worry about all that. As opposed to what we've been led to believe, which forces us and really perpetuates the feeling of the victim mindset.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, there's so much there, and it's going against not only beliefs but very ingrained habits,
mm-hmm.
where we've been taught immediately to think up the solution rather than to open up and trust and focus on the feelings. I think it takes time and practice actually to switch.
You're absolutely
yep.
right. Oh, if I can, one thing I can, the only thing I can compare this to, I lived in Greece for a couple of years. And what you just mentioned, Katie, reminded me of this. You're right. I think it does take a lot of, it takes effort, it takes practice to, in a sense, unwind from the
yeah.
complication and to simplify it. And it reminds me of when I first moved, this is way back in 2000, I moved to an island in Greece, to Santorini. And I literally had to learn how to slow down, learn that, you know, no, at 2 o'clock you're going to go home and take a nap. What do you mean? How on earth could anybody do that? No, you know, it's okay. Just relax. And life is easier. Life is better. No, there's time to eat. We'll talk about that later. Whole, you know, shift. But it was a shift into something that felt okay. It was foreign, very weird, because coming from Canada and United States, we just don't function that way. We are go, 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 go. How on earth could life function if we actually took a nap, or for example, or we decided to wait and have a relaxing lunch before we had finished the rest of our meeting? It's this way of shifting into something that is really easier. And when we're thinking about the law of attraction, and not focusing so much on the how, which is the real hard part, right? And there's a lot of unknowns there that are challenging. And if we take that part off, wow, it really does feel better. You're right. Yeah, just interesting.
So much easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it feels good.
It does feel good.
And, you know, one thing, too, is that always strikes me so much is, as, you know, someone who's done pastoral counseling for 20 years and has been a priest in the Eastern Orthodox Church, that so much of the culture is telling us that we have to take charge, we have to know the how, we have to figure out the how. And even the religions we're brought up in are typically telling us this. And yet, if you read the New Testament, this isn't what you find at all. How many times does Jesus Christ have to say, whatsoever you ask, believing, you will receive? End of story.
Mm-hmm.
And he says it over and over again, and he says it in many different ways. And when it doesn't work for people, he says, that's because you didn't actually believe it. He says that to them. You didn't believe
mm-hmm.
it. And,
yeah, that's
and,
true.
You know, how is it that we took something as simple as whatever you ask for believing you will receive, and we've turned it into whatsoever you ask for believing, we'll submit it to committee and get back to you eventually.
It's true. Something got lost in translation there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I've got so many questions, and I will come back to them, but I thought I would just open up the line for a moment just to see if there's any questions. And basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to people can press star 6 if they would like to ask a question, And while I'm waiting on that, I was going to ask you one more question, which is, is what's the number one error that people make when they try and increase the money coming into their life? And you may have gone into this already.
I think we touched on it a little bit. So, I mean, I'm not sure what you would say to this. I would say, though, in reference to kind of where we were, what we were hinting to earlier, is that what they think they want when it comes to money perhaps is not really in their sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back to that belief, and how are they really feeling about what they're thinking about, whatever that goal may be. Because that's so critical. It comes back to the feeling good now. It comes back to how are they feeling, a.k.a. what are they vibrating? What is the frequency they're actually emitting? I would say that would be one big one. What would you say, Dr. Simeon? How would you add to that?
Yeah, you're right, Kathy. It's this whole thing of if you allow your head to tell yourself what you want, you may be inaccurate. You may not feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to somehow get into your, you know, drop down into your body, drop down into your heart and your gut, and understand from a deeper level what it is that you want, what it is, in other words, how you're going to define your goal, and whether that's a monetary, you can define the goal in monetary terms, you could define it in non-monetary terms, and you know, it could come to the same thing, but the point is, however you define it, it's got to feel good. And I think the biggest error people make is not paying attention to how they feel about that goal.
You're so right. And you know, one other thing maybe we could add to that is we were talking a little bit about it just moments ago about when they're defining what it is that they want, I think people will find if you really pay attention to the thoughts that lead you to a conclusion or to a definition of a goal, often we're guided by thoughts of how. If we think about, well, I'd like this for my business, or I would like this amount of money, whatever the case may be, we will curb that based on what we think we can do, based on the how. How would I do that? Well, I don't want to set that too high or too low because of, you know, how would I do that or how would I do that? It's very sneaky. Like we mentioned before how it takes some practice, Katie.
Yeah.
It definitely does. And it leads us into something that I know we've mentioned this before, but I will remind people again because this is a really key one. It's a basic principle when it comes to being when it comes to your awareness and using principles to apply the law of attraction, or at least be consciously aware of applying the law of attraction. It will be covered in the training material that your audience has in Your Wish Is Your Command. So fortunately, there's quite a lot of material on this, and they'll find it referenced as the training balance scale. And it would be within the first half of the program that they're going through. But that gives them an exceptional explanation on this particular point, the thoughts versus the how. And really, if we can leave the how out of it, then what Dr. Simeon is suggesting, where you can really then pay attention to how you're feeling, they'll have more success. Mm-hmm. And will be more in alignment with what we really want deep down. Because it's so confusing sometimes. Is it what my logical brain wants? Is that really what I should be listening to? Or is it what makes me feel good? Ultimately, it's what makes me feel good and how good I'm feeling. So they'll be able to find more on that in the program they're learning about, but it's such a key point. It's so important because that's what really affects the vibration, and the vibration that we're putting out is ultimately what affects what comes back to us.
Yeah.
Which is pretty simple, right? Not always
that's
easy,
so
but
true.
Simple, simplified.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, I just was hearing somebody on one of the clearing calls was saying that she was really, like, she was really feeling called to do a certain program, and but she kept stopping herself because she was kept asking how am I going to get clients who are going to pay for it, or how are they going to pay for that? Because it was an expensive proposition, And it involved travel and a lot of expenses for people. And so instead of following her heart, which was to organize these this program abroad, she kept dampening it. And so I think that's what you just mentioned happens a lot. We'll think, oh, I would really love to do this in my business, but I'm not sure how I'm going to get the people for it, or I'm not sure, you know, a lot of things.
Oh, you're so right with that, Katie. In fact, I would almost say, as a general term, be careful what comes after the word but in the chatter in our mind.
That's probably
the stoppers. It's so true.
That is certainly the case.
It's
easier to watch that with others than oneself, because it's
a reflex,
much a part
almost,
of our vocabulary.
Yeah, but is a real stop word in a sense. In fact, I know a guy who does speaker training, very, very famous speaker, and what he trains people to do is, when you build your speech about whatever it is, do a word search on but and change them all, because he says it immediately, the moment you say that, there's a subconscious break in your audience.
Mm.
You trigger something in their mind that stops right there when you use the word but. So change it to something else. Now, you know, I can't prove that he's right on, but it speaks to this whole point that we quickly get into the how, out of habit.
Well, I'm going to do that for future speeches. I'd never thought of that. But it's at least to see where one does use that but word. And it's easier to catch it with a speech than, you know, our normal everyday speech, which is very unconscious in many cases. So I had another question to ask you, which is, why do some people do all the right things in their business and never make money, and other people who seem to do many things wrong make lots of money? And that can be a real sore point for people.
I think, Katie, this really comes falls right into what we've been talking about right now.
Yeah.
Dr. Simeon, tell me if you disagree, or if you have any other anything else to add, like another spin on it. But when it's a perfect question, Katie, in the perfect scenario, because it happens all the time, right? And I think it can be frustrating to be the person who is working really hard, because we have to work hard for money, or we have to work hard for success. You know, the whole blood, sweat, and tears bit, that's what's going to pay off. And yet somebody who seems to be fumbling along, maybe who doesn't have nearly the same skills that you do, or nearly the same talents or good looks or charisma or whatever it may be, or investment money or anything, seems to be doing phenomenally well. It's that whole contrast that seems to be a mystery. But if you look at any situation like that, and you were able to analyze the two different parties involved, it will come back to what's called the training balance scale. Whose thoughts are really correct, and who's focusing too much on the how? I mean, a lot of times if we look at even just the words or the phrase working hard, right, the images that come into our mind is physical effort, a lot of effort. You know, something is taking a lot of energy from us in order to, and it's being put towards something which we generally associate with something physical. Whereas when our thoughts are right, it doesn't really matter. It's hard to believe, but it doesn't really matter what our physical effort looks like. It doesn't have to be nearly perfect. It just has to be some sort of step in that direction. But if the thoughts are right, everything else will fall into place. Just like with the example of the hobby project that I had. I'm sure that what I was thinking of was probably less than perfect. I was no expert at all, had no experience in that whatsoever, in that field, in that arena, none. And yet things were falling into place, and I know, and Simeon and I both know, that had I taken a few steps further, and I had to stop it because I made a conscious decision to focus my efforts elsewhere, but with the intention of picking it up later because it would be easy. But it would be easy because my thoughts were all lined up. And I think if we look at any really successful individual in any venture, their thoughts are in the right place, and there'll be story after story after story of how the how, all of the details, the physical details, the people, the money, the resources, whatever it was, just falls into place because their thoughts were right. Simeon, what would you add?
Exactly that, Kathy. I find it kind of funny, Katie, because the way you worded the question, you know, why do some people do all the right things and never make money, whereas others seem to do wrong things and make lots of money? One answer to that is it could never happen that way. You know, and in a sense, it's very true, just because of what Kathy said, because unless your thoughts are lined up, you're not doing the right things.
Mm-hmm.
You think you are. According to the Newtonian worldview, you're doing all the right things. But according to this worldview, the quantum physics worldview, you're doing all the wrong things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and yet it's so prevalent.
It is, and
I must say I've been in that boat.
All of
them.
Yeah.
Where
there, right?
Because, and I mean, it's prevalent. Like if you're doing training, with there's all sorts of courses out there, and they say, well, if you take this and this step, you'll be successful. And of course, some people are, and some people do the same program and follow the same sets of steps, and aren't. And so I think what you just said makes a lot of sense. So what if you were, so I'm just thinking we're coming to the end of our time, but I just wanted to come back to, or actually ask a question that's more about the feeling good part. Because if feeling good is key to manifesting what you desire, and what do you do when something really throws you off balance, like a big loss or just a day when you feel really stressed out and down?
Good question. That's part of life, right? It
yeah.
happens.
And
yeah,
I mean, for
question.
Some of us, we feel down more often. You know, there's our bodies may be out of shape and
mm-hmm.
a whole load of things.
There may be, in fact, two different things in the question, Katie, from a certain point of view. One is, you know, what happens if, as you put it, where when something comes in from the outside and throws you off, like an event or something like that, that's one thing. But on the other hand, what happens if you're just not feeling good? And if you're just not feeling good, there are a whole bunch of things that you can do, and many of them mentioned in your wishes or command, in fact, very specific things to do to help yourself to feel better than you're feeling right now.
Mm-hmm.
But when something happens, an event happens that you don't expect, something that seems to be a loss or a blow to your plans, so to speak, or something like that, then the really interesting thing is that doesn't have to throw you off. And as you become better at this, and better at using these principles, that kind of event that seems to be a reversal of fortune will not negatively affect you, because you will know and you will have seen that that's part of the process of getting you to where you want to go. It's much like, you know, one of the great analogies, and you hear this a lot in Law of Attraction, somebody says, I know what I'll do. I'll use the Law of Attraction. I'll focus on, I want a better job. I want a better job. What's the first thing that happens? They get fired. Well, maybe it had to happen that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it certainly moves the energy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to add about that, Kathy?
Well, I think it does really come down to the basics, to the basic principles, and not to keep harping on those by any means, but they are so foundational. And the more we can learn to really be, I guess it's part of it is learning and practice, but it all starts with awareness. So when we're aware of our thoughts, and we find a lot of people, like we've taken people through workshops and so forth on this material, this is probably one of the biggest pieces of feedback that we get in the very beginning. I hear this from people after the first class or two, is like, I had no idea that I was thinking like this, this, this. Really, what they're often saying is how, counter to how they should be thinking, positive, not thinking about the how. That's a really big one, that one basic principle. But the awareness of how they're thinking, that's a huge, huge turning point for a lot of us, because it's so automatic to be thinking, according to Newtonian worldview, that, and that's definitely not going to get us what we want, but that's the first sort of step, right, is to become aware of it, and then it's really practicing these principles and becoming aware as often as possible, and then retraining ourselves to do all of these various basic principles, these various things that we know will allow us to create the positive situations, events, or results that we're looking to achieve on a day-to-day basis. We know we can't stop the law of attraction from working, because it's a law, and it's working whether we want it to or not, whether we are aware of it or not. So I guess just coming back to those principles and saying, let's try and make an effort, make a conscious effort as often as possible, consistently as possible, to increase our awareness of our thought patterns, increase our awareness of how we're feeling on a day-to-day and moment-to-moment basis, and then gradually begin to shift towards what we know we should be doing, feeling good and thinking about what we do want as opposed to what we don't want. It's all just tied in together.
So, Dr. Simeon Rogers, is there anything else? Because Kathy has just summed it up about the keys to manifesting. And is there anything else that is absolutely important for our listener to come away with from this call, knowing that that's how we get to manifest what we want in life?
That was beautifully summed up, though, Kathy, and so I it's hard to add.
I apologize. I didn't realize I was doing the sum.
Well, I just realized you were coming close to it.
Okay.
And you can always add something, but I do think you're
perfect.
Coming to close to the fact of what we want to come away with are the real keys to how we get what we want in our lives, and just outlining those couple of principles.
Well, what Kathy said was perfect, probably because she wasn't thinking about the how. So, I think we've really, Katie, we've covered all the main principles. And just to reiterate, be very, very careful about what you're feeling. Work on the feeling state. Work on feeling better than you are now, just a little bit better. And the other thing is to understand how to frame, framing your goal or what it is you're shooting for. In a way that's consonant with your feeling state.
Yeah.
Don't get too trapped in your head. And above all, if you realize your feeling state is going down, that you're not feeling really great about something in your business or in your life, check in with yourself, check in with your gut, because chances are 9 out of 10 that you've begun thinking about the how and it's not making you feel good.
Mm. So those are some wonderful guidelines, and I think if people can really take those in, just think about them and also listen to the 14 CD set, because it really drives those principles home. And what I would like to ask you now, because we're going a little over time, and I really want to respect people's time, but I'm sure people would love to know how they can get hold of you and find out more about what you do.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, to get hold of me is pretty easy. My website is globalresiliencesolutions.com, all one word. Again, it's globalresiliencesolutions.com. And if you go look that up and you don't get a search result or it doesn't come up for you, it's because you misspelled the word resilience. So there you go.
I'll include it on in our resources. And Simeon, you have an excellent blog which talks about these different principles of manifestation and other things. So that's something also people sign up at your blog, it's another way of finding out about some of the things that you say.
Yeah, sure. And it's the blog is attached to the Global Resilience Solutions website, so it's right there in the menu.
And Kathy?
Yes. Okay, I think the best way for people to reach me would be by either email or phone. And the email address they can use is kathy@kathywilliams.ca. And it's Kathy with a K, so it's kathy@kathywilliams.ca. And then a telephone number would be 905-313-1115.
Thank you. And as a final cherry on the sundae, I'm really excited about what Simeon and Kathy have. They have a special free training they would like to invite you to, and I've been on the special training, so I can tell you firsthand it'll really help give you an even deeper understanding of the principles they've talked about today and help you move forward in your life. So would you two like to just fill people in on what they need to do in order to participate?
Absolutely, Katie. This free training will take place on, I believe the date was we came up with was April 2nd.
Yes, that's right.
At 8 p.m. Eastern. So 8 p.m. Eastern on April 2nd, put that in your calendar. And what you'll need to do in order to qualify for this free training is simply one thing, and that is make sure that you have finished all of your wishes or command. You've been through all of the 14 CDs. So that's why we put it off till the very beginning of April, because we know some of you haven't, as far as we know, haven't even received your copy of your wish yet. So that's okay. We want to give you lots of time to do it. And on that training, we're going to take you through a few things that I think you're really going to enjoy. We're going to pull out some of those principles for you, expand on them a little bit. That's one of the things we'll do, and as well as answer your questions about the material so you know how to apply it. And then, Kathy, do you want to tell them about the rest?
Actually, I think we should leave that as a surprise. There will be some extra bonus surprises in terms of the training for the last portion of the call, but definitely something you want to stick around for because you'll be given things that you can use indefinitely. I will leave it at that. We'll leave some mystery shrouding it.
Sounds good. It's always great to have a little bit of mystery and magic to the, to the equation.
But I will definitely just add quickly that if you enjoyed or found interesting the principles that we talked about here, and really they are so critical when it comes to consciously creating the things that you really want in our experience. And I know Dr. Simeon and I have countless stories of people's experiences once they've been able to start to use these. Don't discount the material in that particular program simply because it you will be very glad that you took the time to go through them. It expands a lot more than we had time to do on these particular principles. But they're so foundational that, you will be able to apply these things in just about every area, and it will give you a much more solid foundation to the other things that you're trying to create in your life. So we encourage you to do that.
Yeah. Anything you would like to add to that, Simeon?
Simply that, Katie, one of the reasons that both Kathy and I expose people to your wishes, your command, and encourage people to really go through it and listen carefully is that, it is, as Kathy said, it's very foundational. It also presents things in a bit of a different way than pretty much any other Law of Attraction program. And that's why it's actually getting much more success. So when we talk about Law of Attraction programs in general, of course, there are a bazillion of them out there. This one is, in my opinion, the single best A to Z Law of Attraction program that exists.
Agreed.
So pay attention. Really.
Yeah, and I have to say that I come to this from somebody who's being pretty cynical about all this and not much, not being that attracted to most of the Law of Attraction programs. And I've listened to the CDs again and again and again, and I just found it put together things in a way I hadn't heard before. And it finally made sense to me, what people were talking about with the law of attraction. It wasn't just this kind of nice, airy-fairy idea that some people thought and didn't seem to work to me. So I really, that's why I'm making it part of this program I'm sending everybody a copy of the CD series just because I think it can really put some elements of the money puzzle into place for you. And so, yes, well, anyway, thank you so much, Simeon and Kathy, for coming today. It's been really, really, really illuminating and fun.
Great pleasure for us.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having us, Katie.
We really appreciate it. So, bye-bye then.
Have a great day.